It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever and peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek, brought to you by the Rock Creek Free Press.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the New American Dream radio show. It's almost April 15th, a day that continues to live in infamy. That description was, of course, used by Franklin Delano Roosevelt to describe December 7th, 1941, the day the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. I guess we can believe that much of the historical record. There's a lot of evidence that old FDR knew about it ahead of time. Was it that deception that allowing an attack in order to get the war he wanted? Was that what was infamous? Was that what he meant by living on in infamy? I'm guessing he didn't admit to himself that what he did might have been anything less than honorable. That's the trouble with the self-styled great leader types. Caesar, Napoleon, Lincoln, Hitler, Stalin, even George W. Bush. They think they're saving humanity or something. They're fanatics. It's really quite scary. But I started out calling April 15th the day of infamy. I'm sure all our listeners made the connection to the Internal Revenue Service and the deadline for paying federal income taxes. There's a big brouhaha about tax day. But where does that money go? How do they spend your money if you give it to them? The official sources say about 20% of spending is for the military, 20% on Social Security, another 20% on Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP program. The Tea Party and other similar groups complain about this overemphasis on social services. These threats of government shutdown to impose their will on the impotent and inept opposition. They gloss over the real distribution of tax dollars. The War Resisters League has a pie chart that looks vastly different from the official one. According to their site, 54% of federal spending goes to support current, future, and past military efforts. Over half. What's distributed to the rest of us is much less. Check out warresisters.org to see what they did to recalculate the numbers behind their graph. It's shockingly different. Our special guest tonight, Carl Meyer, is a war tax resister. He'll tell us not only why we shouldn't pay the federal government to wage war on our behalf, but how you can join the movement to resist war taxes. I look forward to talking to him about that. My co-host, Mike Pelichek, knows something about resisting war taxes. Maybe he'll tell us about it, but his effort didn't meet with the success Carl enjoyed. None of us likes to talk about things when they don't work out quite right. But we on this show are far more likely to admit our mistakes and move on from them. We don't act like George W. Bush or Barack Obama, pretending that everything we do is okay. We admit we are human. We admit we make mistakes. We try to learn from our mistakes. Presidents, government, and big business don't admit their mistakes. Even when they get caught, they don't admit their mistakes. They might hang someone from another country that made the same sort of mistakes and put it on the internet so everyone can enjoy the spectacle. But everything they do or say is honorable. truth, gospel, and the American way. Mike and I share a dream that this old American way, this old American dream, can be turned into something new. Mike and I have a new American dream. Here to share that vision with you is my co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. We're really happy to have Carl Meyer and Phil Hay tonight. Carl's in Nashville, I believe. I think he lives at a Catholic worker house. And Phil teaches at Briarcliff College in Sioux City. So with, Chuck is down in Fort Lauderdale. I'm in Duluth, near Duluth. Leno Sanek is in British Columbia. Carl's in Nashville, and Phil is in Sioux City. Chuck talked about my tax resistance. When I was a candidate for Congress, I walked from my hometown to Sioux City, which was about an hour drive. It was a week walk, and I delivered a letter saying I would not pay taxes. And that summer, I got a few letters from the IRS saying that I needed to pay or I would be fined $500, and I didn't do that. And eventually that went away. They just forgot about it. And then a couple of years ago, I did the same thing. I sent a letter in. Was a letter saying I would not pay because of the U.S. military budget, and I wanted to pay for things like schools and roads. And then I put a black magic marker through the 1040 form and sent it in. And that ended up, the fine had gone from $500 to $5,000, maybe via the Patriot Act. I don't know for sure. But then, yeah, my wife and I ended up paying the $5,000. And that's kind of a, you know, I don't know. I don't feel great about that. I, you know, didn't paying the fine. But anyway, I do feel good about the try, you know, trying to do something about it. I think that what should be is that we should be allowed to choose to pay for schools and roads and not the military. And I don't think I'm quite done with my IRS protests, but I don't know quite what to do yet. Anyway, the new American dream, what's this all about? It's about becoming the country and the people we have always thought we were. It's about allowing everything to be open for discussion, including the moon landings, UFOs, Bigfoot, 9/11, the Oklahoma City bombing, Waco, the killings of the Kennedys, Martin King, and Paul Wellstone. And about the recent nuclear disaster in Japan and the invasion of Libya, our history shows that we cannot trust our major news organs or our government to tell us the truth. Because the most profound events in the history of mankind are the thus far successful lies about the involvement of the U.S. government in the attacks of September 11th, the faking of the moon landings, the CIA overthrows of governments around the world, the murders of JFK, RFK, MLK, Oklahoma City, Waco, the control of the media, the whole subversive takeover of the U.S. It's in the spirit of the former Soviet Union. Well, unlike the people of the Soviet Union, we Americans still believe we are free. If someone lies to me, I'm going to question whatever else they say. And if they keep lying to me, I would be a fool to keep believing, wouldn't you say? That's what I would think. Well, with JFK, Martin King, RFK, and there was the Gulf of Tonkin, they faked the attack on the U.S. ships in order to get into the Vietnam War, the same as they might likely have done something about Pearl Harbor to get into that war. And my friends and I, back in that early 70s, because of that, we would have gone to Vietnam. We didn't even think about questioning the government. We would have just gone, and we would have killed, and we would have or gotten killed, and that's because of a lie. And the moon landings, well, most of us believe in that, and usually, and for a long time I did too, but I don't anymore. At least I question it. I remember back then we came in from playing outside to stand in the living room and watch the so-called moon landing on the black and white TV in the living room. We stood there sweating from running around, and then we said, cool, and we went up back outside to play, and who would have ever thought to question whether it was true? Well, I just would encourage everyone to look on the internet for their press conference after the supposed moon landing with astronauts Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins. They just look so extremely subdued and guilty of something. And also, I would encourage everyone to listen to Bart Sobrell's interview on Jim Fetzer's radio show, The Real Deal. And can you believe the Warren Commission? I mean, can you believe that it really happened? We don't have riots because of it or lynch someone? But rather, we just say, oh, well, and so just carry on. And Bush fought the 9/11 Commission. And then after 9/11, all the propaganda to promote the war, the terror alerts, where did those go, I wonder? The Osama bin Laden tapes, the fake ones, I believe, the 9/11 Commission finally, and then what a supreme joke that was, and we settled for it. Building 7, controlled demolition, where's the plane in the Pentagon? Where's the plane in Shanksville? Have you heard about the dancing Israelis celebrating the attacks? And still, the Bushes ride around in a golf cart down the third baseline waving to the crowd. Karl Rove, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney walk free. Condoleezza Rice teaches at Stanford. Rather than being locked up forever in one of those high-tech concentration camps we have, like in Florence, Colorado, Supermax they're called, and shuffling off to the shower each morning wearing ankle shackles and a waist chain and fluorescent orange pajamas for the rest of their lives. You know, if we're going to have those insane places, we might as well put the worst of the worst there. And that would be George and George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, and whatever other dozens have conspired, continue to conspire to overthrow this country, who know the truth and don't tell the rest of us. FBI Director Mueller, General Tommy Franks, and all the other generals who acted as commentators on NPR and Fox, ensuring us that this coming war was so cool, so good, so right. And now we have how many hundreds of thousands of dead human beings in Iraq and Afghanistan? Just people who were living their lives and found themselves in the way of the American quest for gold, for dominance. And the thousands of young Americans who have died or had their lives ruined because of a lie, a huge, amazing lie, perpetrated by men and women we asked in good faith to lead us on our way. In May, Frontline will show a documentary about the soldiers at Fort Carson, 17 of whom have been charged or convicted with murder, and 36 have committed suicide since returning from Iraq. And then we have the continuing charade of Guantanamo, and with the stealth candidate Obama, it continues. Bush, Obama, Card, Clinton, Fleischer, Wolfowitz, Ashcroft, Pearl, O'Reilly, Hannity, Couric, Lauer, Williams, Rather, Jennings, Brokaw, Limbaugh, Blitzer, Sawyer, Rivera. All those names, if history ever writes itself, will be synonymous with Goebbels, Goering, and Himmler. Back when I was a kid growing up in Nebraska, we thought Lyndon Johnson was just a big, boring dude. Well, we all need to read LBJ, The Mastermind of JFK's Assassination by Philip F. Nelson. It turns out that the Vice President of the United States carried out the murder of John F. Kennedy. And never in 100 years with my hometown newspaper, radio station, teachers, coaches, or parents have let us even consider such a thing. The term grassy knoll was said with the same sneer that liberal gets today. And even today, almost 50 years later, that seems like a bold statement. All the while, we pointed fingers at the Soviet Union, declaring them a closed society and pointing back at ourselves, boasting forever of a free and open society when we are anything but, have been anything but. The ones who rule the Soviet Union have nothing on the ones who rule us. These successful lies are more profound than anything else in world history ever. It's just all so very well done. It's who we are. Americans don't make cars, but we do killing machines and psyops like the Greeks did truth, philosophy, science, astronomy, discovery. And so the most profound big thing about this big thing called America is that it is a highly successful lie. And you can say that's conspiracy tenfold, I think, like that, but about the Bushes and the assassinations and such, but I say it's just paying attention. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. And like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C., until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. for a free, no obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Palachek.
Well, I'd like to now welcome our guest poet from Sioux City, Iowa, Phil Hay. Phil Hay has been writing and teaching at Briarcliff College since 1969, and he is now a professor in the English writing department. He received a BA in English at Monmouth College in 1964, and an MFA at the University of Iowa Writers Workshop in 1966. He's been published in numerous magazines and anthologies. He's the author of 7 collections of poetry, In Plain Sight, Reorganizing the Stars, Plain Label Poems, A Change of Clothes, Ballad and Songs, How It Seems to Me, and St. Francis. Phil, hello, how are you doing?
Just fine.
How is the weather in Sioux City?
Overcast,
same as here. Yeah, I guess it's been a long time since I've been down that way. I suppose things don't change too much.
Well, we'd be glad to have you down that way again.
Tell me about how you became a writer. Like, was it in grade school? Was it in high school? Was it in college? Was it later?
Well, I was always a reader, but I didn't think of myself as being a writer until my senior year of college, which is pretty late. The college got a brand new creative writing teacher, and I said, I think I can do this. And self-confidence matters a lot if you're going to do something as ridiculous as poetry.
A lot of times the only encouragement you'll get is to quit, am I right? It takes a lot of self-confidence in that you're doing the right thing to keep going. Could you read us a couple of your poems and any background you'd like to give to us?
Sure. For many years there, I was visiting schools in Iowa. And when I'd do that, I'd always go down to the cafe, listen and watch, and learn a lot about how people live. This is a cafe in Orillia, Iowa, called Elsie's Cafe. If it isn't a special place, there's no special place. Those boys come in and they talk. There's donuts and rolls all laid out on the counter and coffee, those glass pots of coffee on the warmer and lines of white glass cups. And when those boys come in, their caps are heroic with words like John Deere, DeKalb Corn, Funk's G Hybrids, Northrop King, and their caps are silent as they talk and take the rolls and coffee at their ease at the tables in the back. Meanwhile, Elsie looks. She looks through her green prescription glasses as she sits and listens to the boys, and there's a tray, big, round glass, full of dollar bills and piles of change, where the customers can pay all by themselves before they leave and not make Elsie move. The door opens again and again. Those boys, how they do come in. I was greatly pleased to find out later that after the day I read the poems, that poem to kids in really grade school, they ran down and told Elsie about it. This next one is called Thin Air, and I'm reading it thinking about how we're being bombarded now by bad promises and absurd conclusions by some of our leaders. Thin air has an undeserved bad name. Think of all the stories made out of it, all the vanishings that it has accepted without protest. Think of how liars walk on thin air, how easily they seem to trust that it will hold them up, as Jesus did with water. And think of how large it is, thin air, encircling the globe without trying. And what a rich, infinite resource it is, partner to frustrated wishes and dirty schemes, sharing as it does the truth of the whole cloth, the straight dope, the horse's mouth. And that's that one.
Phil, do you have one more quick one you could give us?
Oh, let's see. Yeah, I think so. This is the last poem in my book, How It Seems to Me. If you leave without saying, I will never understand whether you felt in the middle of my explaining what it is to lose the phrase, the seed words from which a poem might be grown, or perhaps built if there's nothing organic. I'm not sure. All I truly know I have found in the bits and scraps of my life called paper, like this one. Save it if you can.
Phil, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Hey, what do you have going on? Anything you can, any new project you can tell us about?
What am I doing now?
Yeah, what, any new writing projects that you have that you can plug?
Well, I see, I'm going to be at the Akron Poetry Festival next week. That's a nice little event for us in northwestern Iowa. Otherwise, I'm keeping my eyes open, hoping for good things.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Phil, and I hope you'll
Thank
come
you.
Back again sometime. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye.
And now on to the news briefs.
Chuck and I do not, of course, believe that we actually have anything close to a real news report in these briefs. We can only hope to highlight some events and persons we feel are important and not as widely known as we believe they should be. And so from time to time, we mention Lori Price at Citizens for a Legitimate Government and also No Lies Radio, Leno Sanik and Black Op Radio, Kevin Barrett, Jim Fetzer, and Peter Collins on the radio. And there are others who you would think would get it, but they don't seem to. Keith Olbermann, Rachel Maddow, Stephen Colbert, Bill Maher, John Stewart, Common Dreams, Daily Kos, Truth Out, all the really high-traffic liberal websites and writers, Harper's, Atlantic Monthly, The Progressive, The Nation, do you think they would really tell you the truth? I don't, and I don't know why, but I wonder. And I also don't think any of the so-called regular newspapers would tell the truth. And I wonder if that isn't part of the reasons why newspapers are becoming dinosaurs. When I ran for Congress in the early 2000, I argued with people in the Democratic Party that all we had to do was speak from our hearts and voters would flood to us, rather than minutely calculating what we think people want to hear and then parroting that. In the last few weeks in our news briefs, we rushed through a list of imprisoned resistors, the list from the nuclear resistor, and also news of the sentences imposed on the Disarm Now Plowshares group in Tacoma, Washington. We think that's important and not widely known. And it's just very surprising, well, not really surprising, just very wrong, that we don't know much about Carl Cabot, Jonah House, the Plowshares action since the 1980s, Helen Woodson, this woman who has been in prison since the mid-1980s. I was at her trial in Kansas City, and she's been locked up ever since. Unbelievable. And so what we are saying is here's something, earth-shaking, shattering, yet largely ignored, like broccoli on the buffet, but it's oh so good for you. Give it a try. You'll like it. Mikey likes it.
We just ask you to be aware of the many little people out there, like this radio show trying to fill in the huge gap left by CBS News, Clear Channel, National Public Radio, Nightline, all those liars and cowards. Be aware of Sam Smith and the Progressive Review, Lori Price and Citizens for Legitimate Government, Leno Sanik and Black Op Radio, Kevin Barrett, Jim Fetzer, and Peter Collins, also the Rock Creek Free Press, Information Clearinghouse, the Nuclear Resistor, dozens of local Catholic worker newspapers around the country. World News Trust provides a mix of original and syndicated content, giving you a look at current issues. And we need to remember our elders, something not encouraged by our schools. That's a big part of the new American dream, seeking a way around the non-education we receive in our schools. I have several relatives currently or formerly in the education field, and I know they do their best. But the continued subversion of original thought, the dumbing down that's mandated by an increasingly repressive society and government, these are obstacles that cannot easily be overcome. Remember the socialists, wobblies, anarchists, communists, those who fought for the eight-hour day, Social Security, suffrage, all that. How about the folks who had the foresight to give us county, state, and national parks? The so-called leaders of today would cut and burn and bulldoze everything. Remember Lucy Parsons and Eugene Debs and Emma Goldman, all those people. Remember those who endured the McCarthy days, the Palmer raids, and the Japanese internment. And recall that good things, when they happen, don't just happen. It might seem like that because we have for most of our lives lived within the warm afterglow of the sacrifices of others. But we may soon learn that it all depends on us.
The greatest generation was not those who mindlessly obeyed and went off to kill others. The greatest generation will be the one that understands what America really has been, has become, and that stands up, jumps up, heaves up off the sofa, out the door, into the street and says, F this. F this rule by the rich, secrets upon secrets that I am not allowed to know. F this. People disappeared and murdered because they want to know the truth, because they were a witness to something and just wanted to tell the rest of us. F this. I'm tired of listening to idiots on the radio, idiots on the television, idiots in my newspaper. They are so old American dream, all about money and wealth and expansion of empire. We have a new American dream, and that dream is about tax dollars for the poor, sidewalks in Cleveland and Detroit, schools in Harlem and Birmingham. It's all about bulldozing prison walls and opening the borders to huddled masses yearning to be free. The new American dream is about a wide-open truth commission on the lawn of the White House with lawn chairs and American flags, just like at the parade down Main Street that celebrates killing brown and black people. And we will sit there in the sun and find out who killed Robert Kennedy, who killed John Kennedy, who killed Martin King, who did 9/11, who killed Paul Wellstone. We will find out who runs our elections, who elbows out candidates like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul and Cynthia McKinney, who decides all these things for us. We don't like that, and we want to know how it happens, and we want it changed. And we will go home carrying our lawn chairs, and we will really be America at last, at long effing last. It's all about being the real America we always thought we were. Effing A, we got this.
And that's the way it is. April 14th, 2011.
This portion of tonight's program is being brought to you by the Underpants Bomber, the D.C. Sniper, the Times Square Fizzler, and the Al-Qaeda Conclave Mosque Corn Palace of Mitchell, South Dakota. Ola is great. Wait, no, Allah is great and most awesome. How's it going? We are new to your country. We want to kill you and take your Wii Sports software. Our high-rise lairs are too, how you say it, more of dude caves and not too gnarly and not cool for bowling. For make benefit, glorious nation of Kababistan. Death to Peyton Manning and NASCARs and WWF. We come from a very well-organized, well-kept, well-swept cave in the mountains of Afghanistan, far, far up in sheep nosebleed section. We did 9/11 and other things like the 93 World Trade Center bombing and the Beirut Marine Barracks bombing and for sure lots of other stuff that we did. We are not the FBI or the CIA, that's for sure. And for sure you would be a silly person who does not fit in your neighborhood to think so. We have nothing to do with George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush, the senior one who sits in the front row at the World Series with his pig-resembling wife, or Obama bin Laden, Barack Obama. Thank you very much. Happy times. Have a good day, and please to stay on the same page. Take it to the next level, keep it real, and be always awesome.
And now it's time for our special guest. I mentioned in my opening that Karl Meyer is a war tax resister. In fact, he's one of our country's most knowledgeable counselors and practitioners of strategies and methods to maximize war tax refusal. But he has a lot more to offer. He's been actively fighting both against war and for peace since I was 5 years old in 1957. A 1960 memo from his FBI files described him as a pacifist with a martyr complex. But he's had consistent success with that for a long time. Karl has been involved in the Catholic worker movement for most of his life. I'm hoping he'll start us off by discussing that fine organization. Karl, welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Hello. Well, the FBI said that I was a pacifist with a martyr complex, but they don't get everything accurate.
That's right.
I'm a pacifist my whole adult life, or since I was 10 years old. But I never had a martyr complex. I may have had a messiah complex, but they got that wrong. They also say that I'm a communist. Well, some agent at some meeting heard me talk about communism, the voluntary communism, the voluntary sharing of resources in Catholic worker communities in which we follow the principle of Debs and Emma Goldman and so on that you were just mentioning,
mm-hmm.
from each according to their ability and to each according to their need.
Right.
And that's what the Catholic worker communities founded during the Great Depression in 1933 are intentional communities based on the kind of Gandhian principle that has motivated me since I was 10 years old and read about the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi. And the fundamental principles of it are to share the resources of Earth, live in simplicity, have a way of life that is living without doing harm to other people and without doing harm to the biology of the organism of Earth that we live on and are dependent on, and doing as little harm as possible to the other organisms that share the Earth with us. Now, I've been active in the Catholic worker movement for 57 years since I, back June 53 years ago, that I was arrested with Dorothy Day, the founder, and spent 30 days in jail for refusing to take shelter during compulsory nuclear air raid drills in Manhattan. Craziness, you know. You see what happened to Manhattan when two airplanes plowed into a couple skyscrapers. What if several nuclear bombs plowed into Manhattan? Where would you go for shelter? Impossible. And we said it was impossible, and I was 20 years old, and I was sentenced on my first arrest to 30 days in the juvenile prison, Rikers Island in New York. All that adult life, I've lived this way of life based on simplicity. Now, 14 years ago here in Nashville, I retired and started an intentional Catholic worker-affiliated community called Nashville Greenlands, and it's in a poor neighborhood of North Nashville, only 2 miles from the state capital, but one of those devastated inner city neighborhoods. And we have restored 6 vacant houses in North Nashville, trashed vacant houses that we now share for housing, and we've restored them beautifully. And we got a couple of so-called vacant lots next to them that aren't vacant, of course, because there's plenty of living things living on them, but they don't have human beings living on them. Mm-hmm. And we do organic gardening in those 2 lots and in all of the yards around our 4 houses in this neighborhood. We retain 4 houses in the community, and we have a community of 17 people, mostly young people in their 20s, living together, using bicycles, growing a large part of our own food, conserving energy as much as possible, particularly by sharing housing with one bedroom per person and shared resources. And we do a lot of dumpster diving for our food, because I think I read that 40% of food in America is discarded and wasted, and we go into the dumpsters of supermarkets and so on and get our organic, trendy bread, and we go into Trader Joe's and Whole Earth dumpsters and pull out all of this wasted food. And we also do a lot of social justice advocacy on every kind of issue: peace, local issues, state issues, environment, labor, and so on and so forth. We've been down at the Capitol a number of times because they're trying to trash the teachers' unions here in Nashville, too. But I wanted to focus this year on, today, on war tax refusal, because that's one of the more unusual and things and more interesting to the broadest kind of audience. I'm in my 51st year of non-payment, refusal to pay, the entire amount of the federal income tax that would be claimed from me. And I'm a self-employed carpenter, but I've been refusing taxes for 51 years, and they've collected about $1,300. $1,300 is the total that they've collected from me. in that half century. And I've also pioneered, particularly during the Vietnam War period, methods that opened up war tax refusal to a large part of the population that wanted to do it, including those who are on wages and salaries, which I was, where you have withholding. I showed people during the Vietnam War how to prevent the withholding of taxes from their wages and salary, and I did that for about 25 years that I worked for wages and salary before I became a self-employed carpenter. And the reason we do this is that throughout my lifetime, around 50%, half, of all federal income tax revenue, I'm not talking about the Social Security tax or Medicare tax revenue, but the income tax revenue, has been devoted to the costs of current military, past military, and future military aggressions. And I don't call it the defense budget, because throughout my lifetime, it hasn't been the defense budget. It's been the aggression budget. In fact, particularly practically throughout the whole history of the United States of America, it hasn't been defense spending by the military. It has been aggression spending when they were wiping out the Indian tribes, and now when they're extending U.S. military power all over the world and to helping causes and contributing to causes largely from small organizations and people who we know exactly what they're doing, people that we know personally. I send $300 a year to a Catholic worker couple that I know that work near Oaxaca, Mexico, up in the hills, doing wonderful development work with people in Mexico, living in the community and sharing the life of the people up in the hills in Mexico. Now, that's when I contribute to that. I know what the money is doing and what it's being used for. So that's why we do it. Now, the fundamental way of doing it, well, a lot of people are self-employed. If you live on a low income, which is a nonviolent way of living, a way of life which where you have less than taxable income, a single person could have income of about $10,000 a year now without being subject to federal income tax. And that's a good nonviolent way of living. But I make more than that every year, and I would owe taxes in almost every year of the last half century if I filed tax returns. I don't file tax returns. I'm public and open about it. The Internal Revenue Service knows about me. They've touched me a number of times, but every time they touch me, I burn them in the public relations arena. Because I was so public about it, I did serve 9 months of a 2-year prison sentence, the maximum sentence on 2 misdemeanors of tax refusal during the Vietnam War period. But overall, I have benefited, and the world community has benefited a lot from my refusal to hand money over to the military. And the way we do it for people who are on wages is that we claim sufficient allowances on the W-4 form. That's the form that you file with your employer when you first go to work, that states how many allowances or exemptions from withholding you are going to have. And you are responsible for the number that you claim, and the employer acts upon the number that you claim. And we simply claim, figure out and claim how many allowances we need to claim in order to prevent the withholding of the income tax. Some war tax refusers believe in filing an income tax return every year with the IRS in order to show that they're protesting. I don't think that's wise and effective. I've been doing it effectively for half a century, successfully and effectively, and I just don't think it's a good practical strategy to turn yourself in every year to the IRS. That's what they follow up on. They don't follow up on me because they don't get a direct report from me on how much income tax I am refusing. But if I reported to them every year how much I was refusing, they sure would come after me.
Okay.
Every year. So I don't recommend filing an income tax return. We're engaged in a nonviolent guerrilla, nonviolent action to resist U.S. imperialism and aggressive war. And just like a guerrilla in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Colombia or any other country where the U.S. is engaging in aggression, those persons wouldn't go to the U.S. Army headquarters and report where they were hanging out in the hills and how many troops, how many guerrillas they had in their band, and how many weapons they had. So I don't directly go to the IRS and turn myself in. But the IRS can listen to this program if they want to. And the way to reach me, anybody who wants counseling, I've counseled thousands of people over the last half century, both with my writings and with my personal counseling. And you can reach me in Nashville if you want to at 615-322-9523. But the way to also to find out about war tax refusal and how to do it effectively and to get some of the things that I have written and that other people have written about how to do it effectively is through the national, you could Google the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, or you could Google the War Resisters League and find out the practical information on how to do it. The War Tax Resisters League puts out a very interesting and colorful and thorough handbook. That's www.warresisters.org. So, you have any questions, Chuck?
Yes, I certainly do. I would have enough questions to go on for days, probably, but I'm going to have to limit myself to two because we're almost out of time. You mentioned that you don't file a return. You recommend not filing a return. Supposing someone's listening to our show and they already filed their taxes. In fact, they already filed indicating that they're paying taxes and they're sent a check or something. Is there anything they can do now or do they have to wait till next year?
Well, I don't think there's much you can do now if you've had it withheld. It might not be too wise to try to get a refund on the basis of an amended return.
Yeah, I kind of thought so.
and I don't recommend filing a return with false information. I'm a very truthful person. Even when the IRS or the FBI calls, I tell them the truth. Now, when the FBI comes to see me to ask me if I pay the criminal fines that I haven't paid for nonviolent civil disobedience over the years, I told them I can't afford to pay and I would not pay if I could. But I didn't lie to them about anything. So I wouldn't lie to the IRS. I just wouldn't tell them.
Well,
and get yourself ready for next year. This is something a person has to think about because it has a lot of implications. I mean, I don't have a career in politics. I don't have a career in institutions. You know, I'm not a university professor. You have to. It affects your choices in terms of how to live and how to make a living. So it's something to think about carefully. Maybe start small. Start by refusing a small amount of tax to begin with. Make sure it's something you want to do and have the gumption and the courage to do and to follow through on, because the IRS may very well catch up with you, particularly on wages and salaries.
Right. Or for those of us who are self-employed, perhaps just don't file, right?
Now if you're self-employed, but you have a number of employees, it's going to be difficult to do also.
That would be difficult, yes.
Yeah, because your employees are going to want you to withhold Social Security, and if you don't, if you file for Social Security, well then the IRS is going to begin to know about the income. So it affects, you can't become a big business doing this.
Well, I'm glad I'm a one-man
shop. Only if you're General Electric can you do this as a huge corporation. If you're Boeing,
General Electric, or
any other huge corporation, you can dwarf the amount of war tax refusal that Carl Meyer. I mean, you can have huge war-related contracts, and you can dwarf the amount of war tax refusal that Carl Meyer does.
Yeah, funny thing about that. Carl, I have enjoyed listening to you, and you presented an excellent case. Both, I was fascinated by the to hear about the community you've started and your 57 years with Catholic workers, and this war tax refusal is also very interesting, very important.
Let me say one thing. People can Google me at KARLMEYER, Carl Meyer, and if they put the word Nashville for Nashville, Tennessee in there with the Google, they will, there's a lot of Carl Meyers in the world, but if you Google Carl Meyer Nashville, you will get more information about my life and activities and about how to contact me and so on and so forth.
And I can confirm that. That's how I found some information about you. Thank you, Carl, for being with us, and I hope you come back to visit us on the New American Dream Radio Show.
Yeah, come and call me anytime. Bye.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. We're really trying to help out in any way we can with Homeland Security. Lots of people are putting up fences around their homes, and they're also building a fence to keep out the people from Mount Smith. The City Council and County Commissioners are also planning a fishing weekend to talk about a mosquito net over the city to keep out aliens. That's not supposed to be legal according to the open meeting laws for everyone to be together like that and whisper to each other inside a boat. But there's also some talk about whether the open meeting laws are still in effect under the Patriot Act. Anyway, there goes Tommy Michael Moskowitz. He's a kid. A kid on a bike in a hurry in a small town, thinking this town is the whole world. So exciting. So much happening. So cool.
Well, I've got to hurry. They're building a new fence. This one's over behind Foo's Foods. It's me, Tommy. How you doing? I'm pedaling as fast as I can. Somebody said there's Negroes on the construction crew and girls. They'll be building fences all summer. They have to. It's the law. There goes the swarm. About a million little kids. Whole bunch. Cars are backed up three blocks. It's worse than the train, my mom says. Hey, Cleo. Hey, Cleopatra. These two are brother and sister. One's a cat. Cleopatra's a dog. They're always together. Maybe they don't have anybody else. I'm following the swarm. They're going over yards, fences, down alleys. Fences most people have around their yards by now don't stop the swarm. It goes under, around, over, through anything. Right through a house sometimes. Back door to front. I'm taking all the food inside, like locusts. Moonwalking! She doesn't see me. I'm going too fast. Nobody can probably see me. I'm flying. She's the head librarian. She's arguing with Don the cop. He's got a corner post under his arm. Hey, Don! Hey! There's Robert S. Thompson. He's the old guy on the bench on Main Street.
Well, it's true. Everyone is putting up fences. Christopher, or Christoph, as I believe he has asked his parents to refer to him, our high school student state legislator, was instrumental in getting a bill passed that mandates personal fences. to go along with the national north and south border fences, the fence now being constructed around the state, and those that will soon be separating counties. It's all part of Homeland Security. Fences around towns keeps us safe. I feel pretty safe, I guess. Safe as the next guy. I do have the bedroom window open a crack all winter, though. I'm not sure how that all works, but they say they've heard of some folks going to sleep at night and never waking up. I'm not quite ready for that just yet. Christopher says that if we're going to go all the trouble of keep our people out of the country and then we just let them traipse around wherever they want, that just defeats the purpose, I suppose. I'm not going to watch the fence building. I've seen lots.
Last winter, the highway department put up a snow fence out by the highway, like they always do. It keeps snow from Canada or Russia or wherever from blocking the road. This time they put razor wire on top. I guess it's permanent. Everybody in the cafe, I'm Nona. Everyone out here these days is talking about the fences. Everybody likes them. They love them. Well, they don't have any choice. If you don't put up a fence around your property, you go to jail. But keeps everyone safe. That's what they want. Safe from what? Well, wind from Russia, maybe. I don't know. Let me think about it. They paint the fences, put up lights and wreaths, paint pictures on them. They just love them. Just love them. Can't imagine how we ever got along without them. Commies. Oh, that just came out. Now, everyone's looking out the windows and under their tables, but that's something that the fences might keep us safe from. Do they still have commies? I'm going fast now, really fast. I can just barely still see the swarm. I hear sirens. Gotta be Don. The new National Guard trucks don't have sirens. He must have spotted the swarm. I'm going to stop. It's no use. I like the new stop signs. My mom says there are big bees coming up from Mexico to get us. I was just headed out the door, and she was still talking when the screen slammed. I'm pretty sure she wasn't talking about the swarm. Something different. Fences stop terror. That's what the signs say. See? All they had to do was put the two stickers above and below the stop. Gutner had to do that. I rode along on a whole Saturday in the back of the city pickup, keeping the papers from the sticker things from flying out. Well, see you. Hey, Don!
Robert S. Thompson here. It's going to be a long, hot summer, many dark and stormy nights. There's now a palpable chill in the air. When I sit out here on my bench, I wear a wool top coat on some days. Other days, the sun shines bright, but still the warmth it provides does not match its luster. Some trees are budding a little, most others are still brown. The children are still in school for what reason, I have no idea. I have my fence around my home, got that done just this past week, finally. I have not been out to see Abu go big red. Some have said it's lovely. Some say it's just a prison like all the others. You do not see drug dealers around here, that's for sure. There were none before the prison was constructed either, but you cannot deny there are none here ever since as well. Most people even feel safer knowing it's there. Some have seen white vans pulling up in there with individuals inside with turbans and towels and sombreros. I doubt this account, but an associate of mine said some of those driving the vans have heads shaped like human excrement. Aliens, perhaps, or not, but still it's odd. It is much safer here since the controlled movement ordinance was passed by the council. You find that you really don't need to be out and about at all hours. You budget your time. You get used to it. After a while, you don't notice it.
Hello. Our special today is... Let me check again. I'm putting out these new Open Your Eyes posters, one for the front window and these little ones at the tables. Oh, it's bacon and eggs. You get toast and coffee with that. Moonwalking, she comes in here. She doesn't want a fence around the library. She's been fighting it. She and some of the wingnuts who come in there to read. Doesn't have one at her house either, I guess. Her mother must be kind of weird, too. The ones who don't put up a fence get visited. There's guys from the Legion and VFW, Tuesday Night Bowling League. The Roy Scouts come to the house, sometimes after midnight. I heard once it was 5 in the morning. After that, they put up the fence. Somebody said something about moonwalking. They reported her, I guess. That's what I heard him say at breakfast a couple days ago. They said it's the name. She can't be from around here, which is all well and good, but why don't she just leave then if she's not from here? Anyway, that's what everybody says. My parents came from Germany and Ireland. Well, my grandparents. It'd really be Germany, Ireland, Norway, and the Netherlands. They came here fair and square. They didn't tunnel under a fence or go over a fence or around a fence. They walked right in through the front door. They didn't have to sneak. They didn't need to hide. They held their heads high. Hey, it's me. Me, Tommy. You know. And what's on tonight? Watch people mow. How big's your house? Big hamburgers. And Mom, fix the bathroom. Everybody's watching. Somebody said they saw the list. Somebody had it and they saw it. It's called Christopher's List, named after the high school legislator who lives in the house with the hoop and the glass backboard on 9th Street. Some people are on it. They said moonwalking's on it, on top.
Robert S. Thompson here, at your service, as it were. Well, now that's a new one. It says here in the Wednesday Miracle that the fences are an excellent idea and that any aliens from other countries who don't want to be here should just not come here anyway. And what's all this stuff at Foo's Foods? There's one whole aisle of salsa and taco mix and burritos, enchiladas. It's like, of course people are going to come here with all this food we got. What's the deal with that? Some of the citizens patrol, the Roy Scouts, all the members are named Roy, or change their name to Roy in order to be admitted or get deputized as Roys. Well, they are starting to wear bee-tender masks, headgear, individual fences. They say it makes them proud to be an American. I can see how it might. Should be quite the deal. There is also some plan in the works to do something about the wackos who sit in the library reading the magazines and newspapers. Oh, I used to go there myself, but I haven't been there in years, I can assure you. And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the journalists are about average.
And that's going to conclude the New American Radio Show this week. We would like to thank again our sponsor, the Rock Creek Free Press, the New American Dream website, newamericandream.net, the show's website, theshow.newamericandream.info. And we'd also like to thank World News Trust, that's worldnewstrust.com, for hosting the show's website. Join us again next week, same place, same time. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Ken Lay. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
But even though that's the case, where we live in a world where good men are murdered and little demons run amok, I'm sorry, I still believe in us. And in fact, I had a vision of a way we could have no enemies ever again, if you're interested in this. Anybody interested in hearing this? It's kind of an interesting theory, and all we have to do is make one decisive act, and we can rid the world of all our enemies at once. Here's what we do. You know all that money we spend on nuclear weapons and defense every year? Trillions of dollars. Instead, if we spent that money feeding and clothing the poor of the world, which it would pay for many times over, not one human being excluded, not one, we could as one race explore outer space together in peace forever. Thank you very much. You're great. Three rednecks met me after the show, man. Hey, buddy, come here. Hey, Mr. Comedian, come here. Hey, buddy, we're Christians. We don't like what you said. I said, then forgive me.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C. until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city. On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 truth group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com.
Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
New from U.S. author Mike Palachuk, Camp America. Here's what American poet David Ray has to say. Mike Palachuk reminds me of Socrates, the gadfly who asked unwelcome questions, Diogenes with his lantern looking in vain for an honest man, Chekhov, the man with the hammer challenging a complacent family to share their meal, Kerouac, the ever on the move, somewhat hysterical searcher, and he also reminds me of many Americans who as children were so blasted with propaganda that they're devoting the rest of their lives to challenging the lies and all who tell them. In this land where babies are brought by storks and buildings collapse due to unpatriotic bricks, we need the gadfly, because no leader, preacher, guru, or saint will wake us up, though the doomsday clock is ticking close to 12. David Ray, American poet, author of The Endless Search and The Death of Sardanapalus and other poems of the Iraq Wars. To order Camp America and all of Mike Palachuk's books, go to the New American Dream website, www.newamericandream.info. Howard Zinn writes, Mike Palachuk writes with passion, wit, and always with a strong social conscience. Camp America, from author Mike Palachuk. The website again, newamericandream.info.